going out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Bringing a New York Times best-selling author. A new book is available now. Amazon and bookstores. How about them Cowboys? Gary Myers, who's also an NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, joins us now on WQAM. Gary, how you doing tonight, sir?
I am doing great. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing so well. It's really a pleasure to have you. And, you know, I think any sports journalist or sports media guy like myself, we can all say very jealous of having that Pro Football Hall of Fame vote. I'm guessing that's a responsibility that I'm sure you take very seriously. And I just think about how much pressure that is to have, you know, the fate of some of these Hall of Fame hopefuls in your hands.
It's not that much pressure.
Well, on that note, what was your sort of take on the whole Terrell Owens situation with him not even wanting to accept that honor in person?
Well, I mean, it is a lot of responsibility to have a vote. It's not a lot of pressure because it's what we do. You know, we follow the game and try to educate ourselves enough to make an you know, the right decision on all these. As far as T.O. is concerned, truthfully, I voted for him 3 years in a row. Now, he didn't make it past the final 10 the first 2 years. Hmm. And the reasons were well known because of his locker room behavior and the way he was a cancer on teams, and his first three teams, the 49ers, the Eagles, and the Cowboys, couldn't wait to get rid of him. As far as him not showing up in Canton this year, I tweeted something out that I actually caught a lot of heat for, but I really do stand by it, that all 15 finalists that we discussed in the room the day before the Super Bowl are immensely qualified to be in the Hall of Fame. They wouldn't get that far in the process unless they're were great, great players. And if I knew that Owens was not going to show up and be the first player in the history of the Hall of Fame to not show up for the induction ceremonies, I would have voted for somebody else who I would have believed, that I believed it would have meant more to.
Right.
Now, Owens has come out and said, and he had his own celebration, you know, how much it meant to him, but to you know, thumb his nose or whatever the expression is at the Hall of Fame, I mean, the voters can care less whether or not he's mad at them or whatever, but I just thought it was disrespectful to all the players that went in, all the players and coaches and executives that went in before him, that he just didn't show up.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you. And like, I really thought, even in the weeks and the days leading up to it, I really thought he was going to have a change of heart and decide to show up. I was frankly very surprised when the day rolled around and he didn't show up. And so I kind of defended him at first. I thought he's having a tantrum. He's going to come to his senses. But yeah, I'm with you. I completely respect and I agree with what you're saying, that had you known it would turn into what it turned into, you would have cast your vote towards someone who actually really fully embraced and appreciated that honor.
Right. And you know, the interesting thing is that in March, so, you know, about 6 or 7 weeks after he was voted in, the Hall of Fame has a process where they bring all of the new inductees to Canton. I think it's like two at a time they bring them, and they show them around, and they make them familiar with the logistics, and they talk to them about any parties they might have won, and really just get them familiar with the whole weekend's about. So T.O. went, and he was paired that weekend, or that week whenever he went, with Brian Dawkins. And from people that I spoke to at the Hall of Fame after he announced that he was not going to show up for the induction, they said he actually gave no indication that he was going to boycott the ceremonies, that he was completely into the whole process of what that weekend was going to be like, and he was very excited about it. And the next thing they know, he says he's not coming.
Wow.
So, listen, he's always been different, and he was a great player, and I think he would have got in on the first ballot if he wasn't such a knucklehead. But he was kind of consistent in his behavior right to the end.
So. Yeah. And I wanted to ask you one more Hall of Fame thing, and then I want to move on to the great book, How About Them Cowboys? This is something I think every Miami Dolphins fan listening, being down here in South Florida, a couple names were wondering if you could see if you could see these guys ever entering that Hall of Fame. Zach Thomas, Mark Clayton.
Well, I'll take Mark Clayton first. I'm not sure what the last year that he played was. I know he was part of that great tandem with Duper. I can't remember what year his last year of eligibility was.
It had
was.
To have been, I think the last year he played was somewhere early 90s, I would say.
Okay, because the way it works is, obviously, you have to sit out 5 years, and then as a modern era candidate, you're eligible for 20 years. So I guess my point is, I'm not sure if his eligibility as a modern era candidate has expired. It would be 25 years after the last season that he played. So the fact that he has not gotten in yet, even if he has some modern era eligibility left.
Right, yeah. The last year he played, by the way, was 1993.
Okay, so this would probably be it.
Yeah.
25 years. And the fact that I've been on the committee for about 10 years, and his name is, he's never made it to the final 15 that have been in the room. So, which doesn't mean he won't get in as a senior candidate. It's just then he's competing against everybody in the history of pro football who's not in the Hall of Fame, and there are certainly many players who deserve to be in that are now being considered as seniors. So, the competition is really difficult. Because I never had to really study his career and compare it with others, and I wasn't in, any time that he might have been considered really strongly, I wasn't part of the committee. So I can't say, what kept him out or what has kept him out. I do know that 1984, a magical season with the Dolphins, I happened to be at the last game of the regular season because I was working in Dallas at the time, and the Cowboys played the Dolphins, and I think it was a Monday night game,
yeah,
if I remember correctly, at the Orange Bowl when Marino probably threw another four touchdown passes in that game. To get to 48, and I remember the 5,084 yards, and we never thought either one of those would ever be touched, and they've both been surpassed. As far as Zach Thomas, he was a very good player, and I just don't know that I look at him and say, he was one of the best players to ever be play middle linebacker in the NFL. Again, he's not one that's made it to the point that we have to discuss him in the room. If he ever did, and a really strong case was made on his behalf, I might feel differently. But I just never looked at him as like a really dominant player that you had to make sure you stayed away from. I saw a lot of games with the Jets against the Dolphins, and Kevin Mawai kind of owned Zach Thomas. So maybe my opinion is skewed somewhat by that.
We're joined here by Gary Myers, New York Times best-selling author. You want to check out the new book, How About Them Cowboys? And Gary, Dallas Cowboys, one of the most iconic sports franchises in the world. This is a team that I've always been fascinated by. Let me start here. What's the origin of the nickname, the moniker, America's Team?
Well, it was a title of their 1978 highlight film and the NFL films that come out every year, and they had just lost to the Steelers in the Super Bowl for the second time. And Bob Ryan, who is the producer for NFL films that did the Cowboys film every year, was trying to come up with something different and playing off of the Cowboys' immense popularity. And I uncovered somewhat of a controversy as I was doing my research that everybody's always given NFL films the credit for the America's Team nickname, but Doug Todd, who was the Cowboys PR director at the time and has since passed away, always told people at the Cowboys that he was the one that came up with America's Team.
Oh, wow.
So, Bob Ryan has told me when I interviewed him for the book that he's putting that on his tombstone. So you got to be pretty certain you were the one to do it if you're going to put it on your tombstone. Doug Todd, who, unfortunately, like I mentioned, had passed away, couldn't present his side to me on this, but Greg Aiello, who was Doug's assistant all those years and then went on to work in the league office for many years, he told me that when Doug left the Cowboys after Jerry Jones took over, that Doug put it on his resume that he was the originator of the America's Team nickname, and that to the day he died, he insisted that he was the one that came up with it. So whoever it was came up with a nickname that has stuck and has worked in many ways to their advantage and in many ways to their disadvantage, because I think anybody who doesn't play for the Cowboys kind of resents the Cowboys being known as America's team.
Yeah, no question about that. And you know, you mentioned Jerry Jones. How did he turn what started out as a $154 million investment into what's now nearly a $5 billion enterprise?
Yeah, I mean, when he took over the Cowboys, people don't realize, you know, they always thought the Cowboys was this big moneymaker. They were losing $1 million a month.
No way, wow.
Which it was just pretty amazing. And he concentrated solely the first few years on turning them into a moneymaker and furthering their brand, and left the football to Jimmy Johnson. And they worked great as a tandem, because they each stayed in their lane. Well, once they started winning, and Jimmy was getting all the credit for turning the team around, and nobody was saying, oh, you know, look at the great job Jerry's done, you know, making money. I mean, nobody really celebrates that except for the owner of the team. Jerry started getting a little jealous, and the thing fell apart, because he said, you know, I want the credit. And you know, Jimmy was saying, well, you know, I made the Herschel Walker trade, and I moved up for Emmitt Smith, and I did this and that. So there wasn't enough credit to go around, and obviously, Jerry owning the team, he wasn't going to be the one to leave, and he paid Jimmy $2 million to leave. I mean, I'd probably leave my job for $2 million.
I would in a heartbeat if anyone's offering.
Yeah, really. Unfortunately for the Cowboys, that was the beginning of a period where, you know, they won the Super Bowl a couple of years after Jimmy left. Barry Switzer was the coach, but he did it with Jimmy's players. He was a great coach, but he's even better as a personnel man. And, you know, as a result of the fact that Jerry has completely taken over as the general manager, I mean, he had the title when Jimmy was the coach, but we all know that Jimmy was really the general manager, and now Jerry is really the general manager, and the result is that they haven't been in the Super Bowl in 23 years.
Yeah, and on that note, and I'm a big Jimmy Johnson fan, as a University of Miami alum, of course, I've loved Jimmy forever. What do you think might have been? How great of a dynasty could it have been if Jerry and Jimmy hadn't had this falling out and they could have worked together for another decade?
Well, if you think about, you know, he won two in a row and left, and then they made it to the NFC Championship game the next year against the 49ers, and nearly came back in the fourth quarter to win the game, and I believe that they would have won that game and had Jimmy been the coach, and they would have gone on to win the Super Bowl against the Chargers, because you remember that, I think the game was in Miami, when the 49ers just annihilated the Chargers in that game. So the Cowboys would have done that as well. And then the next year, the Cowboys beat the Steelers, and Barry Switzer wasn't anywhere near the coach that Jimmy was. So if they get to the championship game one year and they win the Super Bowl the next with Switzer, I don't think I'm going out on a limb by saying the Cowboys would have won that Super Bowl in the third year, and then certainly would have won it with Jimmy if they won it with Switzer. So that's four in a row. And all their best players were their young guys, Aikman, Irvin, Emmitt, all the great defensive players that, you know, Darren Woodson and Leon Lett, and they had Charles Haley then, that they could have won five in a row. I know that's weird to say now, because no one's ever going to do it, but it was really just the beginning of free agency, and they were getting picked apart. But Jimmy was so good at personnel that he would have said, no problem, I'll just find better guys who are cheaper. And I really think they could have won five in a row.
Wow. Gary Myers is joining us, New York Times bestselling author. The new book is available on Amazon, anywhere where books are sold. How about them Cowboys? Another thing, this is recent history with the Cowboys, Gary, but I can always remember the draft day stories of Jerry Jones having the card ready to draft Johnny Manziel. Stephen Jones, his son, reportedly talking him out of it. What happened there, and how did that go down? I was almost surprised that Jerry actually let Steven talk him out of that one.
Well, it wasn't just Steven, although he always has his father's ear, and I think he's the voice of reason in that organization. But it was everybody in the room versus Jerry. Jerry was the only one in the entire draft room that wanted Johnny Manziel. So Jerry wanted him so badly that knowing that nobody else wanted him, he still went around the room as the Cowboys were getting ready to make their pick and was pleading his case with each person in the room.
I love that.
When he realized that there was one other person who was backing him up, the Cowboys called him to pick. I don't know that. See, Jerry wouldn't have had a card written. That's kind of a myth because in the war room, somebody gets on the phone and calls draft headquarters and phones in the pick. And then the person who answers the phone, whether it was in New York then or Chicago, I'm not sure where the draft was that year in 2014, but the person at the draft headquarters then writes the name down on the card and brings it up to the front. So the fact that Jerry never, they don't write the names on cards in draft rooms, but the fact is that Jerry very much wanted Manziel, and they called in the pick. That was Zach Thomas, and he went down kicking and screaming, and after it was all said and done, you know, he's sitting next to Steven in a draft room, and he bangs his hand against Steven's leg, and it was loud enough that the noise kind of bounced off the walls a little bit, and he gets in his ear and talking so only, you know, Steven can hear him. He goes, "Let me tell you something, son. You know, I didn't get to where I am in my life by playing things down the middle. I didn't get to where I am by playing things safe. And that's exactly what you just did. So just remember, you're not getting anywhere in your life if you continue to do what you just did. You can't play things down the middle." And Steven was going, whoa.
Wow.
You know, Jerry was his idol, his mentor, his father, obviously. And he was really hurt by that little speech that that Jerry gave him. And I think that Jerry realized it. He never apologized. He just basically, you know, after Steven must have given him a look, he just said, "All right, all that being said, I'm good with what we just did." You know, and they took Zach Martin, who's turned out to be, you know, a great player. And Manziel, you know, clearly became one of the all-time draft busts.
Absolutely. That's great, man. It's some of the stories you can read in the book, How About Them Cowboys, available in bookstores and on Amazon. Gary Myers, you want to follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Gary Myers NY. I can't thank you enough, sir, for taking some time. I've got the book. I'm going through it as we speak, and I'm really enjoying it.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it. And just tell the people in Miami, you can get it at bookstores. And I say, if you can still find a bookstore, I know they're dwindling, but otherwise, just hop on your computer and go to Amazon and pick it up and get it pretty quick. So it was really a lot of fun to write it, and I appreciate you having me on.
Of course. It's my pleasure. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your night.
You too. Take care.